Welcome to the Sportscast, January 30th, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online radio 24/7. You can listen to us there. Also, visit our website, thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. Also, our Twitter, thesportscast1. Follow us there. Also, Instagram, thesportscast1. And check out our app, The Sportscast. We have updates, notifications, and things like that. The 2023 AFC-NFC Championship games are set. We know the Super Bowl finalist. And join us all the way from Western Pennsylvania with The Rock behind him, Joe Toscano. Welcome back.
I figured The Rock was invoked when Kelsey was talking about the Cincinnati mayor, so he might as well join in on the podcast.
There you have it. There you have it. So, your overall thoughts over this weekend before we head into the recap?
When you have, you know, conference championship games, you hope for good games. You hope for the best teams. We got the best team. So we basically got the four best teams, so that was a check. One of the games was amazing, and one of the games was a dud because of injuries. You know, nothing you could do about that. But that second AFC Championship game was amazing, one of the best games I've ever seen.
As predicted, I think that second game was definitely one of the the best of the two. The first one, we'll get into it, was a little bit dull. I would say that Coach Shanahan didn't expect it, though.
There's nothing you could do when your fifth string quarterback goes down. What there's just nothing they could do. They literally did not have a quarterback that could throw the ball. There, you have no chance of winning when that happens.
There's no chance of winning. Well, anyways, we're gonna go right into the recap. Actually, I'm gonna change the order a little bit because that momentum coming into this, I cannot leave without it. How does that sound?
Sounds good.
All right. Let's go into the first game that we just talked about a few seconds ago. The Eagles playing at home against the 49ers. That was pretty much what's going to happen there. Well, anyways, the top seed Eagles manhandled the Niners 31-7 in the NFC Championship game yesterday, Sunday, and will meet against the Chiefs. But the Eagles rushed for four touchdowns, Joe, two by Miles Sanders, and on their way to convincing victory over the injured 49ers. Scott also had a touchdown as well. Your thoughts over the Eagles performance?
The Eagles are really, this is their year. This is, you know, they have looked amazing from day one. They have everything in place. Great offense, great defense. Good quarterback. Great quarterback. I mean, Jalen Hurts was an MVP candidate. They have everything in place. They set a record for rushing touchdowns this year by Jalen Hurts and the entire team. They broke a record from 50 years ago or something like that. Just everything is going well for them, and they had a relatively easy path to the Super Bowl. This is why you want the number one seed. You get the week off, and then you get a not so great opponent in the Giants, and then you get this, you know, this dud, in the 49ers getting hurt. So they've had a relatively easy path to the Super Bowl, but they are looking amazing right now. I can't see anybody stopping them, not even the Chiefs.
And here's why, one of the reasons that was easier yesterday. Brock Purdy injured his elbow in the first quarter, and he couldn't come back. Josh Johnson had to come back, had to come in the game. He had 74 yards. A fifth string quarterback, Christian McCaffrey, did all he can do, but the Niners with the quarterback issue without Brock Purdy ain't good.
There's nothing they could do. I mean, this is their, he was their third guy. I mean, Trey Lance was the one guy, and he got hurt after the first game, and it was Jimmy G for most of the season that got hurt. So Brock Purdy's a number three guy. He gets hurt, then you're down to Josh Johnson, his fourth guy, who's just a journeyman who's played on a million teams. That, you know, it was just a really tough situation to be in, and you just feel for the 49ers. It's just they were just bad luck.
Yeah, bad luck as well. CMC was about to play poor quarterback, but didn't get to. Christian McCaffrey was about to play quarterback, did not. I don't believe he got a snap, right?
He didn't. That would have been cool to see. I think he threw a couple touchdown passes so far this year or something like that. It would have been interesting to see what they could have done. But when you're in a situation where you don't have any of the quarterbacks, you know, people are saying that they should have a rule. They had something called a third quarterback rule about 10 years ago, where you're allowed to have three quarterbacks on. But what the league said was, we'll take that away, but we'll add an extra roster spot. So you don't have to make it for a quarterback. You can make it for anything. So really, if this was such a big deal, the 49ers could have had a third quarterback on there if they wanted to. But I mean, when you're down to your fourth, fifth string quarterback, how good are you going to be anyway? It was just a really, just really unfortunate situation for the 49ers.
And also quarterback Josh Johnson got a concussion, so he had to leave as well. So Brock Purdy was pretty much couldn't throw. He had to give a whole lot to the ball to Christian McCaffrey. Kittle had 32 yards in receiving, Debo 33 yards. McCaffrey 84 yards rushing, Josh Johnson 74, Brock Purdy 23. If it was a healthier squad, Joe, would have been different? Closer?
I think it would have been a really interesting game. I still think the Eagles would have won, but I think it would have been an interesting game. The Eagles defense was just manhandling the 49ers offensive line, and the 49ers offensive line is supposed to be one of their strengths. So that was a problem. And the Eagles, we don't know what the Eagles offense did pretty well against a very good 49ers defense. So, we don't know. That's a big thing, is we just don't know what would have happened. Most likely the Eagles probably would have won. It just would have been much closer.
Hurts had 121 yards, Gainwell 48 yards, Miles Sanders 42 yards, Hurts 21 yards rushing. Receiving, not much going on. Devontae Smith 36, A.J. Brown, 28 yards. Gainwell, 26 yards rushing. But it felt like receiving, it felt like they were just running the ball a lot.
Basically, you know, the Eagles understood the situation and just said, let's just run at the clock and, you know, just do that. But in terms of receiving, there was that big play to Devontae Smith early in the game that it was a gorgeous catch, which actually wasn't a catch, but the Eagles were smart enough to hurry up and run a play so that they couldn't check it on replay, which is brilliant on their part, but a horrible failure of the officiating, which is just the officiating had a really bad day in both games. But just kudos to the Eagles for saying, you know, basically Devontae Smith said, hey guys, hurry up and run a play, because I didn't really catch that. And they did. They hurried up and ran a play, and there's nothing you could do there. So kudos to them for pulling that off.
Bengals, Chiefs, AFC Championship game. This one's a lot closer. First half, the Chiefs won 13-6. So it was going back field goals, one touchdown by the Chiefs. The second half was a little bit more action. Two touchdowns by the Bengals. Kansas City Chiefs also scored a touchdown and a field goal. Came down to a field goal, 23-20. That final play that caused a penalty hurt the Bengals, got the Chiefs, and scored that field goal. The penalty was caused was by Joseph Osai, but that play was very immature. But the Chiefs had the edge.
You feel for the guy that, you know, it's just a really unfortunate situation. You know, players lose their cool all the time. But he just happened to make a critical mistake at the worst possible time. If he does not push Mahomes and they have to kick a field goal from there, most likely they do not make that field goal because it was really cold and you cannot, it's very difficult to, yeah, it would have been a very long field goal. And when it's very cold, it's very difficult to make field goals. So most likely he probably would have missed and it would have gone to overtime and then who knows what happened. So really Asai cost his team the game, but in reality, there's a million things that go on in the game. It just happened to be the last thing. So just, you know, I mean, he's going to get, so he even got something from his teammate. His teammate was yelling at him, but his other teammates were supporting him. You feel for the guy. You hope it doesn't mess him up too much, but still really unfortunate thing to happen. And it cost him the game. Worst possible time to make a mistake like that.
How about Mahomes running with that sprained ankle injury, but he was going all out.
That was the thing during the whole week. Like, how bad is Mahomes hurt? How bad is he hurt? High ankle sprain. Usually when you have a high ankle sprain, you're out for several weeks. How's this guy going to play? Not only did he play well, he was just not, he did not, obviously it bothered him because he was not as mobile as he usually was, but it did not affect his throwing at all. And then when the championship is online and your chance to go to the Super Bowl, he's like, screw it, I'm running. And he ran for it in a key play. So obviously he is hurting like crazy, but kudos to him and the medical staff for getting him ready. Who knows what they had to do to get him ready. But he's obviously hurting, but still he played awesome.
Joe Burrow was sacked five times, Joe, and he was able to do it. He was a little bit beat up towards the end, but finished with 270 yards passing to go with a touchdown and two interceptions for the Bengals. He had a good performance, did you think?
He had a good performance, and the story going in was, what are the Bengals going to do? They have a really poor offensive line. They had injured, you know, they try to do things throughout the year to make it better, but then those players got hurt. So now they're down to their backups. They're down to having a poor offensive line again. And we thought that was going to be an issue when the Bengals played the Bills, but either because the Bills aren't as good or because of the snow that really limited their rush, so it didn't affect the Bengals. But the Chiefs, Chris Jones is an absolute monster, and he was huge. I think he had like 8 pressures on the game or something like that. He was an absolute monster in this game, and they could not stop him. So the poor offensive line really came back to hurt the Bengals. But Joe Burrow is just amazing. He is right up there. He's basically, Mahomes is number one. Maybe Hurts number two, but Joe Burrow is number three quarterback in the NFL right now. He is just amazing. Some of those throws he made was awesome. Now, he did have a couple interceptions too, so he wasn't totally perfect, but he still had a good game.
Joe's saying it. He's saying it. Burrow is in the top three quarterbacks of the NFL. T. Higgins had 6 catches for 83 yards and the score. Good game by him. Mahomes had 3 for 326 yards and 2 touchdowns. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Joe, led with 116 yards and a touchdown. He had a good game.
Yeah, that was another thing. I think at one point, Juju Smith-Schuster got hurt. I think Tony got hurt. I think they had like 3 wide receivers that got hurt during the game. So, you know, the Chiefs were limited during the game. There was talk before the game that Travis Kelce had an injured back. He was having back spasms or something like that. He saw a good game, 7 catches, 78 yards and a touchdown. Marquez Valdes-Scantling had a good game. Sky Moore, who was a draft pick this year, who really didn't do much all year, he had a huge game in terms of he had a very key punt return that set up that winning drive at the end. And he had 3 catches. So, they just got contributions from a lot of people, and that's the story all year. It was like, well, we don't have Tyreek Hill. We got to get contributions from other players.
Travis Kelce had a back and all, had 7 catches for 70 yards and a score. And, of course, the Chiefs won the AFC Championship game, going to the Super Bowl. Let's play this clip of why Joe has the rock behind him and Kelce's victory speech.
I appreciate you. How about this beautiful trophy? Huh? Hey, I got some wise words for that Cincinnati mayor. Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni. You gotta fight for your right to party. I knew he was gonna be up for one more of those.
Okay, so that's why Joe has the rock behind him. When I first listened to it, I was like, hold on, that sounds very familiar. It's the rock.
If you smell what Travis Kelce is cooking. That was a story, you know. There's a debate of how much does trash talk have in a sporting event. You know, when one team trash talks another, does that actually affect them? And you know, the standard cliche responses was like, oh no, we just play our game, we're gonna play, you know, whatever cliches they want to use. They say it doesn't bother them. In reality, it bothers them a lot. There was Mike Hilton calling it a burrowhead because the Bengals kept winning. Like they won like three in a row against the Chiefs, like in the past 13 months. It's an amazing statistic. The mayor of Cincinnati wondering if Burrow is the Chiefs daddy or something like that. Like, dude, what are you doing? All they did, and that's so funny, because the Bengals were had this chip on their shoulder throughout the playoffs and throughout the season. Throughout the season, they were told, oh, you weren't really a Super Bowl team, you're not that good. And then throughout the playoffs, after the DeMar Hamlin thing happened, they're like, oh, well, you might have to have a coin flip to figure out if you're going to be the division champion. And we're hoping that the game's in Atlanta, so it's Bills and Chiefs and all this stuff. They used all this as motivation, but then they turn around and do a whole bunch of trash talk to the Chiefs and just motivate the heck out of them. Bengals, what are you doing? That was really dumb.
I do agree. Trash talking does come into play in the strategy. I remember when the Chicago Bulls back in the late 90s would do that. Also, Phil Jackson's Lakers, they will mess with Scottie Pippen's head, and it causes them to win the series. So it does play a role. Let's look at the final bracket of this year's 2023 NFL playoffs. As you can see, Eagles versus Kansas City. They're going to Phoenix. Joe, I know this could be an early prediction, but what do you think so far? You don't have to make your final prediction, but what is your gut telling you right now?
My early thought is the Eagles' year. Everything is going just perfect for them. They got the quarterback, they got the running game, the offensive line, the defensive line, the defense. Everything is going perfectly for them. This is their year. Chiefs are really good too, but they're also hurt. I'm sure in 2 weeks, Mahomes' ankle will feel much better, but still, it's probably going to bother him a lot. And the only advantage the Chiefs have is that they've been to the Super Bowl recently, and the Eagles really have. And the Eagles were there a few years ago when they beat the Patriots, yeah, but not Jalen Hurts. So, you know, maybe the allure of the Super Bowl might hurt the Eagles a little bit, but really they are just, this is one of the most stacked teams I've seen in a long time. They just excel in every area.
I agree with Joe. From seeing yesterday's games, I think the Eagles have the full package. They got the receivers, they got the running backs, and then they got the quarterback, the X factor. I will pick the Eagles as of right now. Obviously need 2 weeks to dissect. Mahomes has 2 weeks to heal, not enough for a sprained ankle. I was watching the games yesterday with the doctor, and he was like, man, you need 6 weeks to heal. So
yeah,
not enough time.
It was amazing that, you know, he was able to run around the way, well, he didn't run around, but it was amazing that he was able to play at all and still make those throws. Really impressive. So either he didn't really get diagnosed, or they did some magic to get him ready for the game. Who knows what they pumped him with?
He was walking fine during the press conference this past week. He was walking the field. He was practicing. He was more healthier than Kelce, looking at paper, but on paper. So we'll see what happens. 2 weeks. I'm sure they got the best medical staff in the world compared to other teams. I'm just kidding.
Dolphins.
Yeah, exactly. We got a comment from from Limit XS. She says, "What's good?" I think it's a he or she, whatever. And she, he or she is from Twitch. So what's good? The Chiefs made it and the Eagles made it. That's what's good. All right. We got some news, a lot of coaching changes. The big one that's happened overnight is Mike McCarthy to call plays as Cowboys because they parted ways with the offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore, who used to be a player in the NFL. Your thoughts on that, Joe?
And I believe Kellen Moore is going to the Chargers. So the Cowboys had, I think, the fourth ranked offense in the NFL. Bro, what do you want? Like, what do you want to be top three, top two? Like, what do you want? You're already one of the best offenses in the NFL. What do you want? You know, I don't understand what happened there. The Cowboys, they're just fun because, you know, it's the same thing every year with them. They're going to be overhyped. Then they're going to win some games and think this is our year. And then they're going to fail in the playoffs. And it's a wonderful thing. And then we're going to make fun of them all again. So, you know, let's just keep that cycle going every year.
Yeah, you know, things are interesting in Cowboy land, Jerry Jones land. So more, as Joe said, he is going to Los Angeles Chargers. So he's fine there working with Justin Herbert. So that's something that is definitely looked at. Maybe have Brian Staley going on. Vic Fangio, he is officially the defensive coordinator for the Miami Dolphins. He is known. He has coached the Broncos as a head coach. Did not do well as a head coach, but he's a very good defensive coordinator. Your thoughts on this hire?
Huge, huge, huge get for the Dolphins. Fangio is one of those classic coordinators that are really good coordinators, just a lousy head coach. Do not let him be a head coach. But as a coordinator, he is awesome. His defense is actually being copied by many teams in the league this year. That's how good he is. That's how good of a mind he is. So this is a huge get for the Dolphins. This is just nothing but good, really smart. You know, you have your offensive, let's just call him a genius with Mike McDaniel. He's highly regarded in the offensive realm. And now you have somebody that's highly regarded with the defense. That's great. You just got to make sure you have the players and make sure that they're healthy, but they are well on their way to being much better next year.
Yeah, Dolphins are definitely making some changes, some tweaks, so we'll see what happens. Panthers have a head coach. They got Frank Wright, who was the former Colts head coach. Now he is in Carolina. Darnold is the quarterback they have so far. Your thoughts on this hire?
I don't want to say I'm disgusted, but I'm very upset about this. You run your business. Hey, I'm who am I? I'm just some schmuck in a basement. Who am I to tell some billionaire what to do? But when you have a situation in Carolina where they had Matt Rhule, who came from college, that did not work. They fired him, and in the middle of the season, they brought in Steve Wilkes, I believe his name is.
Yeah, that's correct.
Traded their best running back, Christian McCaffrey, traded their best wide receiver in the middle of the season. And guess what? They started winning when after all that happened. How do you let a guy go that the players obviously love and play hard for? What the heck is going on? And you go to Frank Reich, who was a failure in Indianapolis, when Indianapolis had a talented team and he couldn't figure that out, and you make this guy the head coach? Come on, man. Come on. It's ridiculous. When a black person becomes head coach, a lot of times they're successful and they get fired anyway. It happened in Detroit. I believe it happened in elsewhere. I think it happened in Arizona too one time. What's going on here? You had a successful head coach, and yet you fire him. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. That Brian Flores lawsuit, I hope they sue. I hope they win. I hope that they sue, because there's something obvious going on that the hiring practices are against black people for some reason.
Ridiculous. Another rumor of a hire that might happen within seconds is DeMarco Ryans heading to the Texans. DeMeco Ryans, actually, is his name. Texans have had several coaches in the past couple years. DeMeco Ryans, I think he's on the verge of sign that contract. Your thoughts on this hire?
Ryan's, I believe, played for the Texans. He was a star there. He's highly regarded. He is young as heck. I'm not exactly sure how young, how old he is. He's very young, but he did such a good job with the 49ers. This is an obvious, like, this is an obvious fit. A player that used to play with him. He knows the Texans. So hopefully he does a great job, and hopefully they keep him, because I don't know what's going on in Houston. They fire coaches after 1 year. I believe the third coach in 3 years. What's going on? Like, you know, it's like the Texans were broken after the whole Deshaun Watson situation and trading him, and it's time to start building towards something. I don't know. Hopefully they could keep D'Amico Ryans and build something around him and not have these temporary situations with these coaches where they fire him after 1 year.
D'Amico Ryans, obviously, he's currently right now the San Francisco 49ers defensive coordinator, had a great run until they faced the Eagles. So he's a very young, successful coach. And as Joe said, he used to play with the Texans, so he knows the environment, the culture. So he is about to be announced maybe this week, maybe not next week. We'll see. These contracts have a little bit of the details. So a lot of hirings to go. Obviously, Sean Payton's still available, Joe. Do you think he might end up somewhere, or he might not end up anywhere?
I got to tell you, I am in absolute shock that he's not with the Cowboys. I am in shock that the Cowboys did not fire McCarthy and bring in Sean Payton, because Jerry Jones has had a love affair. He's had a crush on Sean Payton for years now, because Sean Payton started out as a working on the Cowboys staff. Then he went to coach the Saints. So I figured as soon as Payton became available that he was going to go somewhere. From what I understand, and there's the rumor that if you want Sean Payton, he's still under contract to the Saints. So if you want him, you're going to have to trade for him. And the Saints are asking like multiple first-round draft picks for him. So maybe that might hold up things, but still, I would imagine he's going to end up somewhere. You can't just – I mean, he's just too good to just sit out.
Correct. That's probably the dilemma. A lot of these teams cannot hire him easily because he's still under contract with the Saints. I don't know how long he has that contract with, but if they want to hire him this year, they got to do some trades. It's like dealing with a player. That's just how it works. So we'll see what happens. Maybe the Broncos, that position is open. I think there's one guy, I believe, that's really interested. Jim Harbaugh actually talked to the owner of the Broncos last week. So things are still in negotiations with Jim Harbaugh, maybe.
That's weird, because he said he's going staying with Michigan. But hey, money talks. And
much did you say again?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, money talks. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that all shakes out. I don't know who wants to coach Denver, though, because it's a bad situation. You're stuck with Russell Wilson, who knows what's going on with him. And you also have no draft picks. So it's hard to build. So who knows what's. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, they took a big swing and a huge miss with the whole Russell Wilson thing. So we'll see how that all shakes out.
Yeah, Broncos, big shoes to fill. So we'll see what happens in the next upcoming weeks. Poll question of the day, Joe. What goes best with croissants? Options are butter, Nutella, jam, or honey. You can say other as well. What is your answer?
Oh, gosh, that's hard. I would say butter. But what my answer is? Other. I like a croissant breakfast sandwich. A croissant, sausage, cheese, and egg. That is my jam right there. I get that from a certain national chain that rhymes with Funkin' Fonuts. And
I was thinking Burger King.
That's my jam. Oh, you know what? Burger King croissant sandwich is—they're
good.
Number one breakfast sandwich. Yeah, I forgot about the croissant sandwich.
Yeah, McDonald's doesn't make croissant sandwiches, or just Burger King and Dunkin' Donuts. You're right.
Just Burger King and Dunkin' Donuts. Yeah, everybody else has other things. So biscuits
or like English muffins or something like that.
Yeah. So that's my answer.
Cool. I actually really like Nutella with croissant. I think that works well.
I never had it. It sounds awesome. Nutella on anything sounds awesome, really.
Yeah, Nutella in anything, even on pizza. I haven't tried. Well, yeah, it is. I've actually tried.
Whoa.
But with no cheese or sauce, just Nutella on like.
Oh, Nutella. Okay, so yeah. That would be interesting. Yeah.
Anyways, you can vote on our Twitter, twitter.com/thesportscast1 to get your voice, get your vote heard of what goes best on croissants. Joe, what is the best way to reach you online to talk to you about what to eat on the Super Bowl in 2 weeks?
Joey Bag of Donuts, VN7F. You gotta have some good eats for the Super Bowl. That is what I look forward to. The game is 1A, the commercials 1B, but the food is right up there 1C. You gotta have a good spread, whether you go somewhere, you stay at home or whatever. You gotta get something. You gotta have wings. That's a must. I think is another thing. Buffalo chicken dip. Buffalo dip. Ooh. That's good stuff.
I would definitely put that on my grocery list for Super Bowl weekend. So definitely check that out. You can reach us at thesportscast1 on Twitter, also thesportscast.net on our website. So, and check out our shows tomorrow, Sports Talk 101 Tuesdays. These guys will talking about the refs, the officiating of what happened this past weekend, also Super Bowl, what to look forward to. And then, of course, Jersey Boys going on debate, what makes more money, the Super Bowl or the World Cup. And, of course, on Wednesday, the Top 25 Rundown, they're getting warmed up with college basketball and things like that. All right, Joe, what a weekend. Football is coming to a conclusion. We'll see the best in 2 weeks. Appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.